Beloved congregation, it is always a special occasion, a special time of blessing and privilege to have the administration of the covenant, of the sacrament of holy baptism. In Confession of Faith class last week, we learned that it is because of our weaknesses and our infirmities that the Lord comes to us and brings us His holy sacraments. Baptism today, Lord's Supper next Lord's Day. Baptism is instituted for believers and their children. It is a means of grace. And the question for us today, what are parents now to do with this means of grace? And what are children to do with this means of grace? What are we as a church to do with the means of grace? And the Word of God shows us so plainly. Psalm 19 so beautifully describes the holy Word of God as all sufficient. This word converts souls. It makes wise the simple. It rejoices the heart. It enlightens the eyes. It endures forever. It is altogether righteous. The word of God, Psalm 19 tells us, is perfect and sure and right and pure and clean and true. So that's where we turn this afternoon, with the question of training our children. We do that from Psalm 19, verse 10 and 11, and Proverbs 22, verse 6. Psalm 19, this is God's word. More to be desired are they than gold, speaking of the contents of the word of God. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. And Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Training our children. What is the duty of parents? What is the duty of children? And what is the duty of the church? The duties of parents, and I want to include grandparents in this. First of all, our duty as parents towards God Himself. Then we ask right away off from the very beginning, is your heart, parents, right with God? Are you living the life of faith and repentance? Do you obey the gospel? Do you hold for truth all that God has revealed in His word? See, the training of our children begins with the training of parents by the Holy Spirit through the word of God. As parents, we need to learn to obey God, to trust God, to hope in Christ Jesus alone for salvation. We need to learn to live a godly life, being hearers of the word and doers of the word, glorifying the Lord our God in our families, in our homes, in our businesses. The parents' duty, first of all, is to believe what God says in His word and to behave accordingly. As it comes to our own souls, parents, faith in Jesus Christ is absolutely necessary. Repentance, daily repentance, is absolutely necessary for our daily sins that we still commit, even after receiving grace. I would say, especially as we become more and more aware of those sins. We must know and believe Bible doctrine. And parents, we are never too busy for this. Never too busy to learn more from the Word of God. Never too wise to learn more from the Word of God. Never too tired to learn more from the Word of God as it regards our own souls. A parent's duty before training our children is to be trained ourselves. Because parents, if you don't believe, yourself, then how will you teach your children what faith is and what it does and who it looks to? If you yourself are not convinced of the truth of the Word of God, how in the world are you going to convince your children? If you are not Holy Spirit trained yourself, how will you train your children? How will you be able to say, with the psalmist of Psalm 34, verse 11, "Come, my children, I will teach you the fear of the Lord." So you see, the duties of parents is to be instructed in the holy word of God and to be obedient parents. I think, for example, of next Lord's Day when the Lord's Supper is celebrated. Then there are some parents in this congregation who do not attend the Lord's Supper table. They have their reasons for that, I'm sure. But how will your children know what obedience looks like if you blatantly disobey the command of Jesus at his table, "Do this in remembrance of me"? You see, as parents, we are called to live out our confession in the presence of God and in the presence of our children. Lo, the psalmist says, "Children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." And one of God's purposes for Christian marriage is that he might seek a godly seed. That's according to Malachi 2, verse 14. And if the Lord has blessed us with his heritage, with children, as a gracious reward, it will always be of grace. It's never that we earned children, but his reward of grace. What will the Lord find when he comes to look and seek for his godly seed in our families? You see, parents, we must train our children. That is our number one priority as parents, is to train and teach our children. And the Lord has given us the training manual. It is the holy word of God. So we teach and we train our children as soon as they are able to understand even simple Bible stories of the creation and the fall. We teach them of Jesus. We teach them of Jesus' miracles. We teach them of their sin and that their little hearts are wicked, just like older people's hearts are desperately wicked, and who can know them. And we teach them of the forgiveness of sins and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And we sing the familiar psalters and hymns to them so that they will never forget them. And we do that. And we place more emphasis on all those things than we do on all the other things they have to learn yet in this world. And all the other things they will learn. So we come with our Bibles instead of the Berenstain Bears. And we come teaching them of Jesus instead of Jack and Jill. And we teach them of Peter the Apostle instead of about Peter Pan. As parents, we bring the Word of God to our children. That Word is more to be desired than gold, than much fine gold. Parents, let us show our children that for us, the Word of God is the most precious thing we have. We desire that word more than anything else. More than all the possessions, all the things, the pleasures that this world can possibly give us. Use the means of grace in your family. You know that the Holy Spirit works by means of his word. So don't let anything replace your family being daily in the word of God. If you would choose anything else above your family devotional time, that would be like showing your children that a nickel is worth more than a dime just because it's a little bigger. the Word of God must be central. And parents, at baptism, we make some amazing promises, don't we? We promise and intend to see these children, when come to years of discretion, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, meaning the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the summary of that doctrine in the confessions, and we are going to help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of our power, to do everything we can to instruct them in these truths, to provide our children with a solid Christian education at home, at school, at church. Pray for and with your children. Let them hear you mention them by name to their God. Let them hear you in your prayer commend them to His grace and care. Let them hear you pray for their teachers. Let them hear you pray for their catechism teachers. Let them hear you pray for yourself as parents, for wisdom and grace and holiness. And be here every worship service, every time the church doors are open. Show them that to you, God's Word, whether we read it at home or whether it is preached in the church, is number one. It is the most important. Also, weekday services. Show them the importance of being together with the Lord's people in the public worship service and participate in that service. Let them hear you sing. Let them see you open your Bibles and read along and follow along. Never neglect the worship services. It is an opportunity for parents and for children and everyone to learn more about Jesus. I think about catechism classes and Bible lessons they learn at school. Ask them questions about what did you learn today at school? And help them to learn. Show interest in their homework, memorize the scriptures with them and the Psalter selections with them. Train up a child in the way he should go. Proverbs 22, verse 6. That word train in the King James margin, if you have the margin in that Bible, it says that is the word catechize. And catechize means teaching people by way of questions and answers. Catechize a child in the way he should go. And the word child there is not the usual word for little child. It's used for that, but also for older, for teenagers. And 1 Samuel 1 verse 24, Samuel was just weaned and he's called the child who is young. In Genesis, speaking of Isaac as a teenager, he is called the lad, using this word, a child. In Genesis 37, very specifically, Joseph, being 17 years old, is called by this name too, the child. So you see, from the very little ones all the way up to the teenagers, train up a child in the way he should go. And the stress is on youthfulness. Children of various ages, training up that child suitable to his own age level. We do that at home. And we do it at school. We don't teach algebra in kindergarten. That would be foolishness. And we don't teach the alphabet to grade 12 students either. We don't teach microbiology in grade 5. And we don't teach division in grade 11. And so when it comes to Bible matters, we don't expect a 4-year-old to be able to tell us what justification by faith alone is. But we do expect that from an 18-year-old who's been through the whole catechism program. And when they come to the confession of faith class and I ask, what is justification by faith alone? What is that? Then we would expect that an 18-year-old would be able to tell us, because we have been training up our children in the way they should go from when they were very little. And we train up our children by leading them by example. Living a life of faith, living close to the Lord, close to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we have a truly Christian home. And in a Christian home, the parents' first and foremost priority is to cleave to each other as husband and wife. That our children may see, our parents, they love each other. And they show it. And the Bible tells them to. That provides a stable home setting, a safe place for your children. God requires a godly seed. And we need to be striving together for that end and allow nothing to hinder you from training your children. Not your workload. Not all your engagements in different societies you're involved in, good as they may be, not your friends, not your unbelief. Turn to the Lord. Fall on your knees as parents before the Lord and tell the Lord, Lord, you told us we must bring a godly seed to the Lord, and we can't do it in ourselves. And return to the Lord every day with that burden and your inability and your insufficiency. We need to be able to say to our children, parents, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. What a tremendous responsibility we have as parents. Oh, how we need the grace of God daily. Pray without ceasing. But in baptism, we are directed, our attention is directed to call on this faithful, covenant-keeping God to equip us and enable us to do what of ourselves we can't. But He will supply. When we call on His name. That's something of the duty of parents. What is now the duty of children? Then when we think about baptism. In Deuteronomy 6, parents are instructed to teach their children, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Children, that's what the Lord requires of you. To love Him with your whole heart. With your whole soul, with your whole might. That's what He demands of you. And you are set apart to serve Him. But how will you know how to serve Him? How will you know that? How are you ever going to do this? When you know that in your heart, even if you don't feel it, you know it from the Bible, that you cannot of your own begin to serve the Lord and love Him with all your heart and soul and might. How must you do this? Well, you turn with me to the precious Word of God. Why does Psalm 19 verse 10 say, why is God's Word so precious? Why is it so sweet, sweeter than honey? Because, according to Psalm 19, verse 11, God's Word does two things for us. It gives us warnings, and it tells us of keeping His Word. That's not all the Word of God does, but here in our text, that's what it does. By them is thy servant warned. Now, you are His servant, whether you like it or not. We are all called to be servants of God. And we are, because we have a covenant relationship with God. And we are to be that godly seed as children. We're to love God above all. That God who has placed His holy name on us. And that God warns you by means of His holy word. You know what a warning is, right? A warning is when you tell someone of what will happen if they don't do things the way that it's that we have to do things, or what will happen if they disobey. Just think if you're driving down the roads, we all came down roads of some kind to get here, and there's always signs. Sharp curve ahead, slow down, speed limit. Why do we have those signs? To tell of possible dangers. And what will happen if we just ignore those warnings? Well, we're going to have car crashes and injuries and even deaths. They have other kind of warnings too. When we lived in Iowa, in Hull, in that little town there, they had a tornado siren. So when there was a tornado warning, that siren would blare and everyone, if they were smart, would get into their basement of their home. Because what happens if you ignore a tornado siren and the tornado comes through your town? You likely have get very badly hurt or even killed. So that's warnings. God in His Bible warns us lovingly. I'll give you two examples. Or one example here and then another one later. But Deuteronomy 4 verse 23, take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you. The people of Israel and their children are told, be careful that you never forget the covenant of the Lord your God, that He made with you. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. And maybe somebody says, well, that's the God of the Old Testament. He's that consuming fire. The God of the New Testament, He's a loving God, a gentle God. Is He? Let me read you Hebrews 12, verse 28. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Exactly the same words about exactly the same God. That's a warning for us. If we forget the covenant that the Lord our God has made with us, if we do not serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, we have to keep in mind our God is a consuming fire. What is the reward of keeping His word for today? Ephesians 6, verse 1, 2, and 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now some people have said, well, that means that if children obey their parents, they're going to live to be 100 years old. That's what it says, right? Live long on the earth. That's when we put all the emphasis on the word long instead of on the word live, where it should be. You see, if by the grace of God we obey our parents and honor our father and mother, it will be well with us and we would live long upon the earth by the grace of God. But how can we learn as children to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear? Who's going to teach us? Who's going to tell us? Well, our parents are. And our catechism teachers are. And our teachers at the Christian school are going to teach us. And the preaching of the Word of God is. We'd heard it just before. Your parents' duty, children, is to train you up in the way that you should go. And that means your duty is to be a good trainee, a good student, a good steward. We need to watch and listen and imitate and follow our parents' example as far as they are following Christ. Then how will you know that your parents are following the Lord Jesus Christ? You can only know it from the Word of God. Are they living the way the Word of God tells them to? That's how you know. And that's the example you need to follow. Not when they disobey, but when they obey. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a promise from God. He will not depart from it, from the way that he should go. Does that sound amazingly beautiful. And yet, from the evidence, it seems contradictory. Because it is true that many do depart from their training. So how do we explain that? When he is old, he will not depart from it. I believe that's to be taken in two ways. The first is that he will not leave the instruction received in his youth. When he gets a little older, he will walk in obedience to God and to his word. He will live in godly fear. And many children also hear, praise the Lord for it. Hallelujah. When they are young, very young, begin this God-fearing life. The Holy Spirit works by the gospel in their little hearts. And they begin loving the Lord Jesus Christ and loving the Word of God. Others, when they are older, in their teenage years or their early 20s, they turn to the Lord and they believe the gospel. They embrace all the gospel benefits. And then they continue in that way. And others, when they are very old, they do not depart from that way that they were taught when they were little. That's true. It's precious. But there are others who do not. And yet it says, when he is old, he will not depart from it. We can say it this way. It will stay with him. It doesn't say he shall come to faith and shall be saved and shall be a believer. It says he will not depart from the way that he should go. How else can we take that? Sometimes people leave the instruction of their parents and of their Christian school and of their church. And there's families here who have that very painful experience and it never goes away. They turn their backs on it. They go their own way. But God says he will not depart from it. And it's true. He will not be able to silence the instruction he has received. It will always be there in the back of their minds. He will be unable to forget it. And he will always have guilt because he knows what he's doing is wrong. And if it persists in disobedience and in rebellion, and going their own way, then even in death, even in eternity, he will not be able to depart from that way. He will have known the way and not walked in it. He will not depart from it because he cannot depart from it because it will not depart from him. Serious matter. Heartbroken parents know the truth of this. Oh, children, dear children of the congregation, your parents, your church, your Christian school, striving to train you up in the way you should go. But you are the one, children, you are the ones who are responsible to heed that instruction. And to walk in that way, you are responsible to repent of your sins and to believe the gospel. Your parents can't do that for you. Your catechism teacher can't do that for you. Your Christian school teacher can't do it for you. And your pastor can't do it for you. That's what you must do. And you can, by the grace of God. He will enable you to do what you can't do yourself. He will give grace to those who call upon him. What are the duties of the church then? What are the duties of this congregation that's gathered here together this afternoon, not only of the consistory members, but of all the members, and I want to include single people and childless couples and widows and everyone. Pray much for our children. Look around you. The children you see here are our children. The children of this church family, this covenant gathering of people here. Pray much for our children as the future leaders of the church. Pray for each family. Oh, I urge you, pretty soon we're getting a new church directory. And I urge you in your family devotion times, your family worship, open up that little church directory. And just pray for the people in one column per day. Pray for them by name. For each boy there. For each girl. The boys as future fathers. And pastors and elders and deacons. And for the girls as future mothers nurturing their children. Oh Lord God, instruct them. Oh, we have, as a church, we have the duty in our church family. If we see ungodly practices in one of our families, then we go in love to those parents and we admonish them from the Word of God. No, we don't go and criticize. We don't go and gossip about them. We don't go there to condemn them. But we go there to speak with them, speaking the truth. In love. And let's be praying for every teacher and office bearer who teach our children. Oh, how they need wisdom every week. How they need new insights, fresh insights every day, just like we all do. And pray much for your pastor. That he would receive the Holy Spirit and be able to bring Christ-centered, soundly biblical messages. That he would be able to bring convicting and encouraging and comforting and instructive and admonishing words and do so in a way that even our children can understand and walk away receiving something out of the sermon. And catechism teachers, you strive diligently to teach your students every Lord's Day. Oh, be much in prayer for every one of them by name. Parents, pray for your child's catechism teacher. And if you see them afterwards, maybe at the birthday greetings or whatever, go say thank you to them for what they do for your children in the catechism class. As a pastor, I have the privilege of visiting every catechism class once per season. I'm off to a slow start this year, but I've had the privilege of sitting in every one of them. And what I see there is men and women, even though they are not trained teachers, bringing simple truths of the Word of God to these children with the love of their hearts, loving these children, praying for them. So let's us pray for those teachers. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to feed the church of God who has purchased you with his own blood. It's Jesus' instruction, or Paul's instruction to the elders at Ephesus. The Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter, and in Peter to all office bearers, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. O Lord, feed us too with the bread of life. So you have your school teachers, Christian school teachers, catechism teachers. I think of youth group leaders dedicated to helping our young people, preparing activities and instructive matters for them month after month, week after week. Parents, if you see them afterwards, go say thank you to them for all that they do for our young people as they too are working together in this to train up our children in the way they should go. It applies to all of us, parents and teachers and every church members. God is going to require an account of what we have done with the covenant children of this congregation that He has entrusted to us. It's not just parents with the little children sitting in your own pew and sitting at your table for supper later on tonight, but all of us. What have we done with the covenant children that the Lord has entrusted to us as a church family? He shall seek a godly seed. Will he find it here too? Amen.